The Ruby in Her Navel, written by Barry Unsworth and read by Andrew Sachs.
Chapter 1. When Nesrin the Dancer became famous in the courts of Europe, many were the stories told about the ruby that glowed in her navel as she danced. Some said it had been stolen by a lover of hers, who had gone to the stake for it, from the crown of King Roger of Sicily. Others, that it had been a bribe from Conrad Hohenstaufen for her help in a plot to kill that same king. The plot had failed, they said, but she had kept the ruby and paid for it in a way that contented Conrad even more than the death of his enemy, vindictive as he was. As time passed, the stories ranged further and grew wilder. The gem was a gift from the Caliph of Baghdad. It was sent her by secret courier from the great Khan of the Mongols with promises of more wealth if she would only come and dance for him and share his bed. And, of course, there were those who said that Nesrin was a shameless woman and the ruby was the reward of her pledge with the devil. The troubadour who accompanied her made songs about the ruby, some happy, some sad, and this confused people even more. Neither of these two ever told the truth of it, no matter who asked, whether prince or peasant. I am the only one who knows the whole story. I, Thurston. Any human life lies in the future as well as the past, of however short duration that future may prove to be. They're hinged together like a door that swings, and that swinging is the present moment. To begin a story, one must choose a time when the door swings wide. And this came for me on a day late in the April of 1149, when Yusuf ibn Mansur asked me to remain with him at the end of what we called the Majlis, the gathering of officials that was held twice monthly in the royal palace of Palermo. He asked me quite openly, rather carelessly, as if it were an afterthought, something that might easily have been overlooked. But it was rare indeed that Yusuf overlooked anything. What better way of disarming suspicion than to speak in the hearing of all? There was nothing strange about my remaining there, about our having things to say in private. He was the lord of the Diwan of Control, and I was his subordinate in the same chancery. But secrecy was ingrained in him, and he knew, as I knew, indeed it was one of the things he had striven to teach me in the years I had served under him, that secrecy is best served by an appearance of openness. The Majlis itself has stayed in my memory because it was enlivened by a quarrel. I had only recently returned from Naples, where I had made an attempt to bribe the Count's jester, a dwarf named Leo, to return with me to Palermo as a gift to the king. He had refused, though much tempted, being afraid of the Count's wrath, of being followed and strangled. This mission I had undertaken in my capacity as purveyor of pleasures and shows, my official title in the Diwan of Control, a resounding one, but, in fact, there were only myself and my clerk and bookkeeper, Stephanos, and the doorman. I did not speak of this failure at the Majlis. It was my practice, in any case, to say as little as possible at these meetings. I was distrusted as a man who belonged nowhere. I worked for a Muslim lord. I was not a Norman of France, being born in northern England, of a Saxon mother and a landless Norman knight. My father brought us to Italy in the year of our Lord 1125, when I was still a child. He hoped to find advancement under the Norman rule, and he did so. My mother died some years later, struggling to give me a brother. And my father, but more of my father later. It was the eunuch Martin, a palace Saracen, that brought on the quarrel. He had words to say about a disrespectful incursion into the women's quarter of the palace on the part of certain drunken Norman knights. Spokesman for the Normans that morning was William of Vannes, who hotly denied the charge, clenching his huge fists and glaring at wizened Martin in his green turban and saffron robe, as if he would like to pound him to pieces, which he would have been easily able to do.